Well, Mr. Janina, we'll start with you. What got you into this race?
Well, of course, I've lived in this area in Caldwell County all my life. And, you know, I'm running for state representative because, unlike, you know, my opponent, I have lived here all my life. And I think that gives me, you know, a definitely benefit. You know, I've lived in, you know, West Kentucky. You know, I've lived by the West Kentucky Christian family values. And I've also been involved, you know, as a first responder, disaster relief coordinator. Of course, I've been a father, you know, involved in my church. I know the folks are going through really rough times, and we really need to help them. And I've tried to help people throughout my career and throughout my profession and my volunteer work. And we really need, you know, good, strong leadership in Frankfort. And like my friends, Representative Mike Cherry and Governor Beshears, you know, and have done a great job, and also they have endorsed me, but I want to continue their work that they started. But we really need someone that can bring folks together and get Frankfort, you know, back to work. So, you know, someone that will really work for us and not against us, and really work with the governor to protect and grow new jobs and good paying jobs right here in Western Kentucky.
Mr. Beckler.
I'm running for office to represent the people of the 4th District because I believe in citizen representation, not a political ruling class. I believe that someone who has spent a career solving problems, balancing budgets, and controlling spending in the private sector can bring a perspective to Frankfort that a career public service employee simply cannot do. I'm not a career politician. I'm just a Kentuckian who believes we can do better. The values I hold, however, are neither Democrat nor Republican. They are basic Kentucky values: low taxes and good jobs, stand up for families and children, respect life, remember the sacrifices our veterans and ancestors made so that we can live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, honor our parents. Government needs to realize that it cannot create jobs. The government can create an environment that encourages business, but it is the private sector that creates jobs. As a state representative, I will work to make that happen.
Well, Mr. Beckler, I'll give you the follow-up. What do you think the central issue is in the 4th District?
Jobs and the economy are the most important issues facing Kentucky, the nation, and the 4th District. I'm committed to creating an environment where Kentucky can succeed, and the best way to do this is by controlling spending. Like a family budget, government must tighten its belt in lean times and be prepared to prioritize all areas of state spending. Our debt is choking business and hurting our citizens. Kentucky is over $44 billion in debt, $10 billion in revenue bonds, and more than $34 billion in unfunded pension liabilities. The state spends $1.37 for every dollar it receives in revenue. This reckless spending must stop.
Mr. Janina.
Oh, I also agree that the central issue, you know, is jobs and our economy. We really do need jobs and, again, good-paying jobs. Of course, I've traveled all across the Pinner Island, the Purchase area in Western Kentucky, you know, talking to the people the last several months and really the last several years on how we can really get back on our feet. You know, their number one concern is really jobs, because folks are really hurting. You know, they're looking for, you know, better-paying jobs and, you know, to meet the needs of their family. You know, I've lived here my entire life, and I've never known so many people, you know, out of work, you know, in our, you know, counties and, you know, the District 4. So we really need someone that will work with our governor and help existing businesses to expand, but also be able to sell our part of the state to the new potential businesses and, again, invite retirees. We have a wonderful area. Mr. Beckler retired here, you know, from, you know, St. Louis. But we need to, you know, trim our government back while still working on and growing new jobs. One of the things is like providing infrastructure. Infrastructure is so important for us, definitely in our, you know, Western Kentucky, you know, District 4. I will continue to support and seek funding to definitely see phase two of 641 completed. This will help jobs and tourism and the true intent of getting industry into our small rural communities. Also, the Ledbetter Bridge, make sure that it's continued, Dyer Hill Road Project, and also we need to look at the Smithland Bridge. While we're improving the others, we need to go ahead and look at the Smithland Bridge Project along with, you know, several other community projects. So infrastructure is really one of the keys also. But, we have to protect and grow good jobs right here in Western Kentucky.
Well, as you both pointed out, the Kentucky continues to struggle with budget issues, pension concerns, infrastructure, particularly in an area like Western Kentucky, where we're connected to the rest of the Commonwealth and other states by bridges, part of that infrastructure. Many economists throughout the country say that the solution to the issues like the Commonwealth has may lie in a very fine combination of budget cuts and taxes. Would you agree with that assertion, or what do you see as the way out of that, Mr. Janina?
You know, we do have a lot of tough tasks that we need to accomplish. But, you know, in my lifetime, you know, I've always was raised on the farm that if we have a task to do, we got to start, you know, with that first bale of hay. If we got 3,000 bales of hay to pick up. In my emergency work and disaster work, we really can't make the disaster situation go away. But the first thing we do, we all work together no matter who we are, and we take that first step to make the situation better. But again, back to protect and provide for our families, you know, we need the good-paying jobs right here in Western Kentucky. And we can do that by several ways, but a couple, you know, ways I will mention is, first, we needed to, you know, get government out of the way, you know, the small business. We need to lower the corporate, you know, tax so small businesses can start up and grow. We have to work together with our governor, our state legislator, you know, across party lines, and provide enterprise to provide, for instance, you know, more advanced cellular service. We need 3G and 4G service, you know, in our area. You know, we all hear and see dead zones across Western Kentucky Parkway, you know, Tylene and Smithland and towards Reedland. You know, we have some dead spots. And a lot of our small businesses with the technology, they really, you know, key in on these reliable sources of communication. And so any startup business, you know, really use these wireless capabilities, so we need to help them out. But we really need to work as a partnership. You know, government doesn't need to control these type of things, but we need to encourage and work as partnerships. And also a lot of our first responders and the people that, you know, I've worked with in the past, you know, we do need strong communication services all across the district to help protect and provide all the ones, you know, in times of need, and also where the consumers can get a hold of us in times of need. But by partnering with business and state government can really be an effective tool for business to make it easier and to better access across our state. But all the time remembering that the best government is the least government, and political decisions should be made at the lowest possible level, you know, whenever possible. I really do not want Washington dictating to Frankfurt. And again, I do not want Frankfurt dictating to our local government.
Mr. Beckler.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Raymond is finally agreeing with me that we need to get government out of our lives, and that there's been too much government intervention in business, and that the tax situation in the state is just untenable. I've been endorsed by the National Federation of Independent Businesses, who have studied the candidates and feel that I am the best candidate to represent the 4th District for business. Now, I'm adamantly opposed to tax increases. As I said earlier, reducing spending, reckless spending, that is the single most important action that can be taken to begin to get the government under control. It's hard to believe, but even after 4 years of a bad economy, nothing's changed. Even with increased revenue, the state is still spending more than it takes in. Currently, there isn't any reason for a state agency not to spend every penny of its budget. Spend it and get more next year. The culture needs to be changed. Instead of being rewarded for spending, agencies should be rewarded for saving money. Budgets should be based on need, not based on what an agency spent the previous year.
Well, we have a question from Clay from Princeton, your neck of the woods, Mr. Nye. He's asking what your positions are each on funding charter schools as part of educational reform in Kentucky. Mr. Denina, you want to take that question first?
I'll be more than happy to. I've worked with, my mother was a teacher, my dad was a teacher early on. You know, I really was involved in community education, but I really support our public school systems. You know, a lot of the school systems are having a hard way to go. They've made a lot of progress, but they still have a long way to go. But I fully support our public school structure, and I've, you know, I've been on record, you know, in a lot of our questionnaires and stuff that I am not for charter schools. I think, you know, when you take tax, you know, our hard-earned tax dollars and take them away from public schools and put them into charter schools, which are most of the time unregulated. And there's a failure rate of charter schools. Some have success, but there's a high failure rate. But I still, our funding for schools, our taxpayers' dollars should stay with public schools. So I am in favor of public schools and not charter schools.
So it's an issue of accountability for you.
Yes.
Mr. Beckler.
My mom taught in a one-room schoolhouse. I've taught college classes. My children attended public schools. I am definitely a supporter of all education. I support public education. I support Christian education. I support homeschooling. but specifically with regard to charter schools, is with my support of education, I have been emphasizing that throughout the campaign. Education is the lifeblood of future generations. I would support public charters in a limited pilot capacity. By not having charter legislation, Kentucky has missed out on hundreds of millions of dollars in race to the top funding, while states like Tennessee reap the benefits. Kentucky cannot continue to leave these federal dollars on the table. Toward that end, I believe that districts of innovation is one avenue that would work. In rural communities, such as those of the 4th District, granting charters that local districts would have the ability to regulate could enable businesses and wealthy individuals to partner with those districts to find new and innovative ways to positively impact our children. These ideas and methods could then be used in the non-charter schools of the district.
Hmm. Well, going on to the mechanism, let's talk about a little bit about funding. Governor Steve Beshear's Blue Ribbon Commission on Tax Reform will submit its recommendations next month. Mr. Beckler, is there anything that you're hoping to see in those recommendations?
I'm hoping to see that the state has finally realized that we cannot spend our way into prosperity. These are tough economic times. The state needs to do the same thing that you and I need to do at home. We need to look at the budget. We need to prioritize things. As I mentioned earlier, state agencies should not be incented to spend every penny that they have in their budget. The way government works right now is that if you spend a certain amount of money one year, that is the basis for spending the following year. That can no longer be the way to go. We must look at the need. We must find out where we can spend more money and where we can spend less money. So I hope that the Tax Reform Commission is able to come up with that.
Mr. Janina?
I'm really looking forward to see what their recommendations are. I know through Governor Beshear's term, you know he has balanced the budget and made cuts each and every year. But with, you know, regarding to the tax structure, you know, we do need to upgrade our tax structure, but it needs to be from top to bottom, whoever it impacts, it needs to be fair, equal, you know, and just for all. But again, you know, we don't need any new taxes, but we need to make, you know, work within our budget. But again, I really look forward to the task force recommendations.
Just want to remind everyone that you are listening to a WKMS News candidate forum featuring 4th District State House candidates Lynn Beckler and Raymond Janina. Mr. Beckler, what are your ideas about fixing the problems with Kentucky's state pension system?
Well, first off, we have a moral obligation to honor the promises that were made to our fine state employees. Once again, though, it's obvious that Frankfurt has let us down. With unfunded liabilities of over $30 billion, action needs to be taken. The Commonwealth must look at all options to address the financial peril we're in. The private sector has gone almost exclusively to a defined contribution plan instead of defined benefit. And this has helped to keep the people most affected, that is, the employees themselves, as active participants in the plan. I am open to any idea that will help the citizens of our great state to get out from under the burden under which we currently find ourselves. Right now, though, the only plan of which I am aware, and thus support, that will help dig us out of our hole is a defined contribution plan for new state employees. Should the legislature not take action, Kentucky could find itself in the untenable position of having to declare bankruptcy, and that is simply unacceptable.
Mr. Janina.
First of all, we must honor the commitment we've made to our retirees and our state employees under the different retirement systems. So definitely, I would recommend, you know, cutting the benefits to our legislators' pensions and, you know, not just downgrading when they've talked from a platinum, you know, down to a silver package. But the legislators' pensions, you know, are fully funded, and it's time for somebody, you know, really to stand up in Frankfurt and, you know, and downgrade the pensions, you know, for part-time. It's fair, it's fair. If it's equal, it's okay, but we don't need it different. We need to make sure it's fair for all. But it will also take a lot of work to bring folks together and to work with Governor Beshear to get things done, you know, which I will do. But again, I'm really looking forward, you know, to the recommendations of the Pension Task Force. But again, you know, with the current retirees, you know, there should not be any change. We've got to honor our commitment to them. But I'm really very interested, again, to see the recommendations of the Pension Task Force. And I really stand strong to protect the retirees. But on the new hires, that we really have to look to get our pension system fully funded, you know, where it's in really good shape. And we're going to have to look at some type of combination plan, a hybrid type plan for our new hires to make sure it's fully funded and it will be there when they need it down the road.
Well, there's the old saw that you've got to spend money to make money. And with technology progressing as it is, and that touching on how the Commonwealth communicates with itself, how, say, first responders communicate with dispatch, with the customers, that is going to take a significant investment. Fixing the pension system is also going to take some degree of investment, however that's done through cuts or however that's done. How do we get that accomplished without spending the money to make that investment? Is it a matter of, do we find that by cuts or do we find that by a small tax, a service tax? I mean, how do we find that cash in order to make those improvements? Mr. DenMeyer?
I think we have to look at all areas. I don't think there's one easy answer. We did not get into this last year or two or even the last term or so. It's been a long-term process that, you know, that really has disturbed me for years and years. But we're going to have to take that first step out. You know, we've got to look at every program. Sometimes just talking about broad cuts and cutting everything out is really not the answer. You know, I've worked in the communities in our areas where I see a lot of need, and we need, you know, a lot of this money to do great services in our community, definitely with our first responders and the small rural communities. But, you know, I don't consider all of the programs and, you know, entitlements, but we need to get the waste and abuse out in any program. I don't care. But all the programs that we deal with are not, you know, entitlements. Some are service earned. So we've got to be really respectful of our seniors, our veterans programs, our veterans back to work programs, you know, even families with disabilities or, you know, children with special needs. You know, they access, but these are services either earned or services that's due them, because we need to be in fair equal. But again, if there's abuse and if there's waste in any program, we need to get that out and really tighten our belt like we'd have to do at our home.
And that's the first step, finding the fat and then going from there.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Beckler.
Well, having worked in the private sector all my life, I know what it takes. When you need to invest in something, you have to determine how much money you have and what your priorities are. You certainly have to look for waste and abuse, and as a state representative, I will certainly do that. However, you know, waste and abuse covers a multitude of sins. So we really have to take a look at what is most important. As I said earlier, we need to prioritize our spending. When we spend on roads, when we spend on schools, when we spend on anything, we have to make a determination, and that is part of the legislative process. Is this more important than that? So if we're going to spend, we have to have a very good feel about what our revenue is going to be, how we're going to get our income. The state is supposed to balance a budget every 2 years, and our legislature is broken. You know, for over half of the last decade, special sessions have had to be made just so we could balance the budget that the state constitution says we have to do. I don't believe that legislators should be paid if they're coming into special session just to balance something that the state constitution requires them to do in the normal time. I believe that every area of our budget needs to be taken, we have to take a close look at it, and then we make the decisions, whether it is developing wireless communication, additional roads and bridges, or whether it's simply taking care of our citizens as we have a responsibility to do.
Both of you have said that better government is smaller government. But I wonder, and you've spoken a little bit about the relationship of the state to the federal government, not allowing the U.S. government to dictate to Frankfurt, you will do this, this, and this. I wonder, though, if you see any kind of conflict with the way in which Kentucky receives federal grants that usually come with a certain list of conditions that the state must fulfill. Do you see any conflict between where you're at politically, philosophically, and the reality of, well, we need money to do this, so we get a Department of Homeland Security grant, or we need this help, so we get a Department of Education grant from the federal government? Mr. Giannana?
Well, again, I think we've got to get back to common sense and reason on whatever level of government we're talking about. And since you mentioned like Homeland Security, you know, a lot of your larger cities might have a large tax base, et cetera. But I know working in rural Western Kentucky, definitely in the Pinerai region and District 4 for years and years, and I still volunteer with several agencies, you know, where we apply and get grants. And Homeland Security, whether you like it or not like it, it has provided, you know, through the state government, you know, through different associations, a lot of equipment and supplies for our first responders, for our hospitals, for our health care. And I've been directly, involved in that, you know, getting these resources for our area. So things like that are definitely a benefit. But again, it gets back to, you know, getting the waste out and cutting the excess out. But a lot of needed services come through the federal government. And we have to remember that until the big picture's changed, that when we, our tax dollars that we pay, whether it be state tax dollars or federal tax dollars, we need to get our fair share back to our area, whatever we live in. And that would be my goal, you know, for the 4th District, that I live here, I represent the 4th District if I'm elected, and I want to make sure that we get the fair share back, whether it be comes for schools, infrastructure, our first responders, Homeland Security, definitely our healthcare industry, because most of the time they really struggle. And a lot of them, you know, we rely on volunteers. So again, I think there's a fine mesh, but again, it's where everybody working together and using a lot of good common sense, you know, with our tax dollars, whatever level they come through.
Mr. Beckler.
It seems to me that the federal government is trying to become daddy or mommy to us. If The federal government, to me, is like, once again, I take it back to private sector. If I want to buy something, I go to you to get it. But if you don't manufacture it, you have to get it from someone else who does, and so on and so forth. And every step in that process, the cost goes up. So the higher our federal tax rate is, the more money we have to give to the state, to the federal government, and then we have to go begging to get our fair share. I believe that if federal taxes go down, we can have more money in the state. We don't have to view the federal government as a middleman. If we have more money in the state, then our state taxes can go down. If our state taxes can go down, the local governments that I think are the best equipped to handle local issues can spend more money on it. So to me, it's just a matter of lower taxes at the federal level will enable more money to go to the state because we will keep it in there. We don't want our money to go necessarily to New York or to California or states that don't need it. If we keep Kentucky money in Kentucky, we're better off. The federal government should not be giving us money. We should not be begging the federal government for our fair share.
Well, let's go to closing statements. Mr. Janina?
Again, thank you for having us, and it's definitely been a pleasure. To the station, you know, thank you, and to the listening audience. You know, I am Raymond Janina, and I have lived in West Kentucky all my life, and I've lived by West Kentucky values, you know, not just for a few years. You know, I have lived here all my life. And I really do find it somewhat objectionable to have my, you know, lifelong lived and learned Christian values, you know, questioned by someone, you know, who's only been a registered voter in Kentucky for just 4 or 5 years. But again, what I really stand for, you know, as a true Kentuckian, I have roots here in Western Kentucky for generations, and I have lived and shared our Christian family values. Again, as a traditional West Kentucky conservative Democrat, you know, I really believe that the best government is the least government. And like all of us, we must live within our means. I do stand as a political independent who has no ties, obligations, or commitments to anyone except my constituents in District 4. And as a candidate who knows this is your seat, District 4 constituent seat, and I will listen to you, you know, not to folks in Frankfort and certainly not to people in Washington. Again, I stand as a believer in one man, one woman marriage, you know, public posting of the Ten Commandments, school prayer, strong abortion restrictions, full gun ownership rights, and I do have an NRA rating. And I 100% support public schools and our educators, and I do not support charter schools. And this is why I have the KEA and public school endorsement. But I want to personally ask you to vote on November 6th. That is your right. I apologize to anyone who I have not been able to personally visit or contact, and I promise you that I will represent you with honesty, integrity, and hard work, ever trusting in you, the people, for your goodness, fairness, intelligence, and appreciation for the straight talk that we've shared. Thank you.
Seems to me it doesn't say much for Mr. Giannina's campaign if his main argument is the fact that he thinks he's lived here all his life and somebody outside the state, outside the area, can't have good ideas. We all live here. We all have the same issues. I am honored to be the Republican candidate for the State House of Representatives in Kentucky's 4th District. I've been endorsed by Kentucky Right to Life. I've been endorsed by the National Federation of Independent Business. I've been endorsed by the Commonwealth Policy Center. I've been endorsed by Congressman Ed Whitfield. I've been endorsed by Senator Rand Paul, and I've been endorsed by Senator Mitch McConnell. I know how to work with elected officials. I've led projects in the private sector that directly affect government. I've worked on projects and led projects that deal that are with UK, with University of Louisville, and as well as the state of Kentucky. We need a strong voice in Frankfort to represent our views, not someone who can't make a decision. I will be that voice, an advocate for all the people in the 4th District. Coal is an indispensable part of our economy, both in terms of jobs and cost of energy. Kentucky must stand up to those who would close our mines or severely limit our ability to provide this vital resource to Kentucky, to other states, and to other countries. We cannot rely on pie-in-the-sky green energy. We cannot let Washington kill Kentucky coal. I will fight to keep our coal mines open and safe. Agriculture is critical. Working on a farm, transporting agricultural goods, and maintaining equipment are only some of the few employment opportunities agriculture provides. The annual value of Kentucky agriculture exports is over $1 billion. We cannot let the EPA tell us that dust is not acceptable in farming. I will fight to see that Kentucky remains a key agricultural state. First-class education is critical to Kentucky. While college preparation courses are certainly needed, there needs to be more focus on education that prepares our young men and women who don't go to college to get the high-paying jobs we all want. Without carpenters or cooks, electricians or executive assistants, machinists or mechanics, no industry can survive. With properly trained people, companies flourish and workers make a good living. With job opportunity, our children will be able to stay in Kentucky, raise their families, and be able to see their children stay in Kentucky. I will fight for the educational opportunities our young people need and have a right to expect. Elections matter. Mr. Giannina's closing statement would imply to me that he should be a Republican if he stands up for the issues that he is now claiming to stand up for. In my opinion, this election matters more than many. This election is about the direction Kentucky will be taking in the foreseeable future. This election is a referendum on where we've been and where we will go. I believe we need a new direction. Our State House of Representatives has been in the hands of Democrats uninterrupted since the 1920s. Don't you think it's time for strong new leadership in the House? Where are we now? Unemployment is higher than the national average. Jobs and industry are moving to the states all around us. Our children are leaving Kentucky as soon as they graduate from high school because there aren't jobs to keep them here. Is this what we want or have to live with? I don't think so. It's clear that Kentucky needs a new direction. We deserve better. We need better. We can do better. If elected, we will do better.
Republican Lynn Beckler and Democrat Raymond Giannina are running for Kentucky's 4th District State House seat. Our thanks to both of you for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having us, Todd.
Same here. Thank you very much, Todd.
This discussion will be online at WKMS.org a little later on, and we will also rebroadcast a version edited for Time on the next Front Page Sunday at 9 a.m. And next week, we'll wrap up our series of candidate forums with 5th District House candidates, Democrat Hal Kemp and Republican Kenny Imes. That's next Friday at 11 a.m. on Sounds Good.